Look at it out there. Nothing but empty space and hard yakka. We've got a job to do. So shake off those orbital blues and come with us.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Quest Fantastic. Since this might very well be someone's first episode of Quest Fantastic ever, why don't we go around and reintroduce ourselves?
Oh, yeah.
What an idea.
We've got names. Human names.
We've got names and backstories.
No, they can't have the backstories. You can have my name.
I wasn't going to give them the backstory.
I'm not having my identity thieved.
Through backstory. Please provide your PIN, your address, date of birth, and backstory.
And who murdered your parents? Why must you seek revenge?
Well, I'll tell you who murdered my parents. It was Paul Goodman. That's me.
Oh, hi, Paul Goodman. My name's Jen Blundell. Hi.
You murder your parents.
And we're the troublemakers.
Uh-oh. Tell you what, you can take my name, but you'll never take my heart. That's right, folks, it's me, Adele.
What a get.
We got Adele on this show, Season 2.
Special guest for Season 2.
And I'm standing in for Paul Salt.
Nice. My pin's and I'm never healed.
It's also her backstory.
Backstory. Break the code.
And I...
If you can, you get all of Nell's money.
That's this season's poetry points. That's right. Poetry points are back and we've got Adele.
They said it couldn't get better. They brought the poetry points back and they've got Adele.
Skyfall, everyone.
Skyfall!
And back to you, Sarah.
Crumble.
And I'm Sarah Keep.
Yay!
I'll be your GM. Your ever-struggling GM.
We love you, Sarah.
Love you so much.
We're moving on from Dungeons and Dragons, and this season we'll be playing Orbital Blues, a space western RPG by Sam Sleeney, Zachary Cox, and Josh Clark. Unlike Dungeons and Dragons, characters in Orbital Blues only have three stats: muscle, which applies to their physical attack, defense, fitness, and health; grit, which applies to their mental fortitude, nerve, and resolve; and savvy, which applies to their intelligence, grace, charisma, and resourcefulness. There are a few more rules to the game, but we'll be explaining them as we go along. So, let's begin. It is an intergalactic age of cowboys, outlaws, and bandits, playing on an interstellar stage. It is a time of hyper-capitalism and a cutthroat gig economy. Unreliable trash heaps carry scrappy underdogs to their next gig, and corporation freighters lumber across the horizon, laden with an empire's bounty. In this vast galaxy of planets, we start our adventure on Valkverdin, a desolate desert planet. While the planet itself might be lacking in many crucial elements for the sustaining of life, such as water, it makes up for it with an abundance of a more desirable resource: oil. The town of Humberstone lays at the bottom of a great cliff. I will return to this town in due course, but our story actually begins a little way outside of Humberstone. Paul, can you please introduce us to your character and describe to us their, for lack of a better word, home?
Me.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm just wandering through. What's up?
Basically, if you imagine a sort of endless desert plain sort of stretching out in every direction, populated with small, sort of very sparse little trading areas, but also sort of farmers, just in the middle of nowhere, just trying to scrap a living from the bleak wilderness they're unable to escape. And amidst all of that, lonelier still, a lone figure, a sort of bald-headed woman clothed in sort of rags with large eyes and a sort of furtive look about her, roaming the desert with no tribe, and no kinsmen. And yeah, no one really to speak to or to know her name, which she uses to call herself when she has reason to do so, and is Koff.
So, Koff, you try to limit your interactions with people of Humberstone as much as possible. Sure, sometimes needs must, and you've been forced to interact with traders in order to acquire vital products such as medicine, but for the most part, you keep to yourself, right?
Yes, in fact, it's important for the character that interaction is non-verbal. So, if anything, pretty much Koff steals what she needs when she needs it, coming under the cover of darkness, taking what she needs, and then fleeing back into the desert when necessary, when she rouses the farmers. There is one particular family that she tends to prey upon in this way.
Oh?
Harmlessly.
Oh.
Just stealing enough to get by.
Well, lately there's been a lot more activity around than you are generally comfortable with. From your home, you've seen large freighters landing and moving truckloads of equipment to the Evergreen oil refinery at the top of the cliff overlooking Humberstone. How do you feel about these people?
Largely fearful, largely the sort of concern of being caught in any way, or having her own sort of meager resources that she has access to stripped away in some way. Yeah, potentially some sort of instinct that this might mean displacing the family that she tends to steal bits of old bread from, and that could be a concern. Otherwise, not really any understanding of what they might be doing.
Well, as you sit in your favourite place in the galaxy, a spot where the sand is particularly soft and the beetles bountiful.
Love those beetles.
You are knocked back by a slipstream as the largest freighter you've seen yet flies dangerously close to the ground, whipping up the sand and disrupting your happy place.
Oh. A sort of wide-eyed alarm, and then trying to scuttle away into the cover of darkness.
In a endless desert plain, where do you find darkness?
Behind a dune.
Nice.
Really, maybe tries to bury herself a little bit.
Right, dune professor.
She may have had some sort of instinctive kind of burrowing technique that sort of leaves her semi-covered, which she thinks is sufficient, but in truth, nobody's ever really been looking for it.
Well, as you sort of poke your head out of the dune to survey what's going on, you have quite a good vantage point of the landing pad round the back of the Evergreen refinery, where a large Evergreen ship begins to descend. As the doors on the side slide open, you see many people begin to pour out, but instead of the usual refinery workers you've seen before, you see heavily armoured and well-armed people pulling dollies stacked high with crates.
Oh. With wide-eyed alarm, she readies at her side the quarterstaff, just in case she is discovered where she is.
You seem to be unobserved so far, but could you give me a 2d6 for an observation check?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's rolling.
There's rolls in this game.
First roll of the game.
And it's on a real thing. Yeah. Actual story.
Oh, you know, as it's the first roll of the game, I should probably do it in the style of Jen's first roll from the very first episode.
Don't you sass me, Paul Salt. I've never done my life.
You do. Go back and listen to your first episode.
Episode one, motherfucker.
I shan't. You can't prove it.
I rolled an 8. What am I adding? Sorry.
So it is just a flat observation check. Okay. When you do an observation check in this game, you do not add any stats to it.
Right.
But an 8, you see that the equipment they are unloading looks valuable. Now, does value hold any meaning to you, Koff, or is it really only food that you seek to steal?
I can think of no circumstances in which she would have experienced anything of value before. Like, to from an objective point of view. You know,
okay.
From a societal point of view.
So the things that they are carrying in these big crates look shiny to you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
She takes heed of this and notices it. It's the shiniest thing she's ever seen.
Yeah. Is that something that would interest Koff?
I don't know. I don't know if she would have associated the idea of bartering. No, more sort of curiosity, possibly even fear. What does it do? What's this shiny thing?
You have no idea. You probably also have no idea of language, do you, Koff?
Not much. It's it's certainly not internally. It'll don't worry, it'll happen if and when she experiences another human being.
Don't worry, listeners.
Don't worry.
Written language is what I should have said. You cannot read.
No.
So the scroll on the side of these crates is meaningless to you.
Mm.
Can you give me a grit check, please? 2d6 and your grit stat.
Okay, that is 3.
Oof.
As the shiny items in the crate pique your interest, the sand of the dune gives way under your hands and you tumble forward.
Sandworm!
Head over ass down the sand dune, making a significant sound as the sand shifts below you.
Oh.
The people that were unloading these crates take notice and start shouting and pointing. What do you do?
Get up and run.
Can you give me a
fast again
muscle check, please? 2d6 plus your muscle stat.
It's a 7.
A 7. Okay. You make haste.
Ooh.
You are so used to the sand, it is quick under your foot. But as you are gaining distance away from this place, you hear gunfire go off.
Ooh.
But you are fine, and you have the time and distance to get away from the oil refinery and go back at nighttime if you so wish, but also maybe stay away from there if that's also your purview.
100% I'll stay away from there forever.
We're going to be running two different campaigns simultaneously. There's going to be Salt's alone adventures.
We move now to space.
Space.
No longer the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism.
No.
Sailing at a fair speed across the ebony void of space is the Moose. Formerly the Duchess. A repurposed training vessel that the rest of our players call home. Nell, can you please introduce us to your character and describe what they're doing as the ship cruises towards its destination?
Maurice Richards, or Mo Ricky for short. any of those? Take any of those names?
Well, that really came out of nowhere.
Yes. Mo is quite tall, almost 6 foot, not quite. Tells people she is.
Says a lot.
She has dark hair but has a shaved head.
Ooh, twinsies.
Who needs hair in this game?
Who needs hair? It's space. It's
Who needs
annoying.
Hair in space?
Yeah.
Future.
Just slow you down.
Imagine trying to put that shit into a fucking helmet. No.
Yeah.
That's true.
She wears a very battered, beigey, browny-coloured aviation-style jacket with loads of pockets.
And there's things in all of the pockets.
Oh, my God.
Black jeans, skinny black jeans, specifically. Black combat boots. And she is having a dart in the... Do you guys call them darts? Probably not. She's having a smoke in the...
I thought it might be slang for a poop.
She's having a dart.
That depends on the kind of poop. Bad news, everyone, it was a dart.
Oh, no. Don't go in there.
She's having a dart, a durry, a ciggy, cigarette in our designated smoke zone.
Oh.
As the ship cruises along.
Now,
where's that?
Curious, where in the ship is the designated? Because this is your ship.
Fusion reactor.
Momo.
Anyone else's bedroom.
Yeah.
Anyone else's bedroom but my own.
Designated smoke zone is the ship.
I was going to say, you are the captain of this ship, so I can't imagine that you would have designated any zone other than the entirety of the ship. So if the entire ship is a designated smoking zone, whereabouts in the ship do we find you currently?
I am
on the toilet.
Yes.
In a dart.
That's right. Squeezing out a dart. I am. What are ship terms again? I'm at the big as if you got like the front bit.
Cockpit?
That's it. That'll do. The bridge?
The bridge. Thank you. There we go. The bridge.
Oh, okay.
So as you sit on the bridge, you see the console flashing rhythmically to signify that the autopilot is in effect and you don't have to really pay that much attention. You're cruising through a safe part of space. There's not likely to be any attacks from bandits.
Excellent.
And you're still about half an hour out from your destination. Mm-hmm. So you're just sort of chilling.
Are you pretending to smoke?
Do you want a prop cigarette for effect?
No, it's okay. But maybe later on.
Yeah.
Nell and Goodman are going to be actual smokers by the end of this campaign, aren't they?
Oh no.
No, don't worry, because these prop cigarettes I bought, they're like herbal cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
I went out this morning and I lit one, not to smoke it, but just to sort of have the vibe. Mm. And it was fucking gross because it smells of cigarettes.
Oh no.
I don't know if anyone told you this, but cigarettes smell of cigarettes.
So what Nell's doing a shit.
So
in my captain's chair as well. Like, I don't even, I just don't care.
Hey, it's the future. Maybe your captain's chair could be a toilet as well. Like, you press a button, it's a toilet.
It's beautiful.
You bought it in Japan.
I did. Mm. Japan too, New Japan.
Yeah.
But Momo,
yes.
As you sit there smoking away, you hear a low rumbling sound and realize that it's not coming from the moose, but instead your stomach. So it might be a good idea to have something to eat before you land.
All right, can I trundle off to the...
The galley.
The galley, thanks.
So we move over to the ship's galley, where we meet another crew member of the moose. Paul, can you please introduce us to your character and describe what they're currently
still on the planet
up to?
Hey.
Goodman, can you please introduce us to your character?
Gosh, yeah, so... an endless well of jokes, this confusion. Endless well of jokes.
Oh, it really is endless.
Why didn't we tap into this in the first season? Then we'd have been popular.
Didn't need it. Now we're scraping the barrel.
Oh, that's true. That's what this feeling is. We see an enormous dude of about 6'7". He tells people he's 6'7". And wearing what could best be described as what someone who has never seen a cowboy before thinks a cowboy looks like.
What a vintage vibe.
It's a vintage vibe.
So hipster.
His clothes, if they weren't covered in a mixture of smoke, chewing tobacco and cooking fat, would be vintage and fetch him quite the sum. He's got the boots with the spurs that make a little satisfying shing as he walks. Denim jeans, shirt with the sleeves rolled up and braces holding them in place. Moving around the kitchen, there's some metal playing that will sound very, very cool if I can be bothered. And a little hovering fan floats about his head, sucking up any of the cigarette smoke it can.
Got that from Japan to New Japan as well.
Got that from Japan to New Japan. It was on sale, I don't... But as he leans over the industrial baking oven that's situated in the galley, with a cigarette on the go and a furrowed brow, he opens the door, waits for the smoke to clear, finds the cigarette still impairing his view a bit, takes it out of his mouth, stubs it on his hand and tucks it behind his ear and plugs in a little lump of tobacco instead and just has a little bit of a suck on that as he inspects the very basic Victoria sponge that's currently taking shape in the oven. He reaches out a finger to prod it, prods this sponge, and satisfied, sets it down on the stove, spits out his chewing tobacco, puts a cigarette back in, relights it, sweeps his hair back, rubs at his grizzled jaw, and pops on a Stetson.
Nice. Just has it just been hanging on like a pan hook or something?
the little fan has been carrying it for
the
you.
The little fan has been carrying it.
And then he drops it on your head.
Oh.
Thank you kindly.
We put a smiley face on the fan.
He turns around, and Maurice is there. Oh my god. I didn't know you was there. You know what happens when people interrupt me mid-bake?
Well, I'm sorry, mate. Eli, how you doing, buddy?
Well, the sponge turned out pretty good. I'd say there's some sponge.
It smells good.
It ain't quite ready, though, of course. I gotta smother it in butter, and, we gotta go find some butter first. Shouldn't have taken care of this bit first, but I've been awake for some time and I had to stay useful. You know how it is.
Well, mate, I am absolutely hankering for a snack. How far away are we talking?
I mean, if you want it not buttered, I mean, you go right for it. I love snacking on cake just as much as the next, but... I mean, if you want a snack, if you want something substantial, then you're going to want to go down and see Poe.
Okay.
But this ain't going to be done for a while.
Well, I got me doubt. That's a nice snack. But I am going to need something a bit more substantial, I think.
I mean, I could give you something to chew on. He holds out the tin with the, like, the tobacco chaw rolled in gloopily around in it. Good for you.
Look, I love a ciggy as much as the next bloke, but I think I will pass, mate. But thank you.
No worries. What do you think goes with sponge?
We got any fruit?
What?
Yeah, sorry. Thought maybe some fruit, but yeah, that's probably doesn't exist anymore, does it?
We's a long way away from planet Tropicana.
The one place that everyone gets their pineapple.
Oh, that's canon now.
Yeah. Planet Tropicana, TM.
And that man with that big plantation on his hat. What's his name?
It is probably time we...
the fucking name of that guy, sorry. The fucking...
Colonel Sanders.
No, the something man.
KFC took over Tropicana. It merged.
No, it's
it did.
It's like a fruit, like an orange.
Giant
it's
orange. Like a character. Orange man.
Peach boy. Guys, there's no way the rest of this episode is going to make any sense until we get this.
Oh, fuck it.
Banana man. Bananas in pajamas.
Del Monte.
The Del Monte man.
The Del Monte man.
The Del Monte man, yeah.
Sarah got it.
I don't know what that is. 1 second.
They sell bananas.
This is the most important thing.
Del Monte man.
I don't know what the Del Monte man is either, Nell.
He just looks like a guy. I thought it was going to be, in my mind, this was going to be...
It's going to be good.
I thought it was going to be a fruit, like a giant fruit with a face or something.
No, that would have been good.
Yeah.
No, that's just the Del Monte man mascot. You know what the man from Del Monte said? He said we can't come back until we got real money.
Yeah, well,
no more war bonds. He said
that's not really stopped us in the past, mate. But I feel like if we get close enough to Tropicana, we should probably just call in and get some more fruit.
Yeah. Until then, I mean, I got some sugar and I got some salt. If I heap enough of them in some sort of combo, it might get the desired effect.
Look, mate, I will leave that to you. You are a star baker. I will leave you to it, and I'm getting some snacks.
TM.
Star Baker with capital letters, by my head. Capital S, capital B, the Star Baker.
Thank you, Cal. You know me, I like to stay useful.
I clap you on the shoulder and I move on.
That's such a bold thing to say because they know that Grand Emperor Maryberry is the only one.
Oh my god, that's also canon. She exists
not since
world.
She left.
Grand Emperor Maryberry.
She's still current to me, Jen.
Do you know somehow that that's the one like cooking sauce that Eli has is a fucking data chip with Mary?
Is it really
with Mary Berry recordings on
yes.
it? I swear to God,
that's so good.
Is that really what it was?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, with that, as Maurice leaves, he turns around and he looks around to make sure no one's around except for the fan.
Yeah,
looks
yeah.
up at the fan and goes, "No, I could trust you, fan." And he pops in the data chip. Into
the fan is my secondary character.
You got it, boss. That's not canon.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, and then up comes a delightful sort of rustic scene of Mary Berry.
Oh.
And she's saying something Legend. Everybody loves, and yeah, he's yeah. there just mouthing the words. He knows it off by heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god! And then you got to stir them and got to make sure it's the right texture and consistency.
And this fades out as Maurice continues.
So Maurice, you continue your search for food by hunting out Poe. Jen, can you please introduce us to your character and tell us whereabouts in the ship they currently are?
Now my default was going to be the galley. So now I have to think of something.
Where is Poe? I'm right here.
Yeah. Here all along. on the toilet, dropping a dart.
Squeezing nice. Out a dart.
Yep.
Baking a dart.
Yeah, yeah.
Went in as soon as Momo left.
My character is in its bedroom.
Oh.
We pan over to a standard ship's cabin. In this one, there is a small single bed on the right-hand side. There's a little writing desk built into the wall on the left-hand side. And on the floor, in the centre of the room against the far wall, there is what appears to be a microwave plugged into the wall. And we look a little closer at this microwave and we realize this microwave has a small square on top with a large smile painted onto it. And above that, two round cameras currently closed off. And then we see them blink open and realize that these cameras have been designed in the shape of eyes. And then the machine body rattles from side to side a little. And out from the sides, two segmented tubes extend. At the end of one, a pincer. And at the end of the other, did I say a pizza slice?
Did now.
Let's say that it's like a detachable. So you can have a pizza slicer on there, but you can also change it out for when that might
Hook
be.
Hook style. Yeah. Cool. And at the end of the other, a small round blade, circular, that appears to spin. And from beneath, two more tubes extend, raising the microwave into the air. And then the plug detaches from the wall and rattles into the body of the machine. And it appears to take a couple of steps forwards. And there we can see on the backside a large, somewhat faded logo that says Don Giuseppe's fully automated pizza oven friend. The machine stands there for a second, snapping its pincer once or twice, blinks another couple of times, then it trundles out into the corridor, which I think is where it intercepts Captain Momo.
G'day, Po. It's Mo.
Captain, good morning, Captain. How are you doing today?
Good, my old friend. How are you?
I am very well, fully charged.
Good to hear, mate. Good to hear.
Can I be of service, Captain?
Well, Poe, I was actually wondering if you had any snacks. I'm pretty starving.
And the little body of the machine jolts for a second in an apparent excitement. Captain, how about a pizza?
Mate, that would be sensational.
That's what I call a snack.
Now, Poe, I know you don't really... What about folding it in half? How do we feel about this?
Now,
that is a sin against pizza law.
Just start short-circuiting. No.
The smile that is on the little head on top of this microwave-esque body is fixed, it's painted on, but the eyes do blink open and shut for a second. And then pizza oven... for this, also goes by the name of Poe, replies, I can see what is in the freezer, but I suspect I have not purchased any folded pizzas because I do not agree with the concept. You do not understand, Captain. The insides do not cook correctly.
That's all right, Poe. I was just pulling your leg, mate. Just pulling your leg.
The little robot leans forward and looks down at its legs.
sorry, Poe. The expressions are, it's a little bit awkward. I'll stop using them.
Please, Captain, repeat it.
I was just pulling your leg, Poe.
Pulling your leg?
Yes. Pulling your leg, Poe. I was having a bit of a joke.
Means pulling your leg means having a bit of a joke.
Yes.
A Poe. Bit of a joke at my expense.
No, Poe. Yes. No, Poe. No. Definitely
thank
not.
Thank you, Captain, for this nugget of information. Excuse me one second. And the little machine turns round, totters back into its quarters. And we see over on the writing desk, there is a small, like, piece of paper and a pen.
Aww.
And with its little pincer, it picks up the pen. Very slowly writes down,
oh, no.
Pulling your leg.
Horrified to think that all of the things on your piece of paper are just stupid shit that I've said.
Says shit cunt. Fuck oath.
Oh no.
And then pizza oven comes back out into the corridor and says, let us see what pizzas are in the freezer, but I suspect there are no folded ones.
That's all right, Poe. Let's have a look.
Excellent, Captain. Follow me. And pizza oven makes haste towards the industrial freezer that I assume they have.
Oh, yeah.
Attached to the galley.
We're walking back.
Cut to pizza oven's been folded in half.
No.
It was the only way to do it.
How's your writing going, Poe?
Writing? I am getting quite proficient.
Good to hear, mate.
Thank you for asking, Captain.
I'm glad. Do you enjoy it, Poe?
Greatly.
Good to know, mate. It's good to know.
Thank you, Captain.
You let me know if you run out of those pens, all right? I'll get you some more.
Thank you, Captain. That's very kind. How are you enjoying smoking?
Oh, I do. Look, I know that it's probably not something that you're going to be able to do, but I do recommend it. It is soothing.
I would love to try it, Captain.
Maybe one day we should give that a go.
Yes, that would be excellent.
All right, let's do it, mate.
Great. Maybe next time we are on planet, I can look for an upgrade.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps I could get lungs.
Eli's going to love this. We've got to tell him about it.
Tell me about what he says as you enter the galley.
Eli, I am going to purchase lungs and upgrade myself so that I can also smoke like you and the captain.
Oh, well, ain't that something? Hey, Poe.
Yes, Eli DeCoco.
You ever heard of Cute Kid Smoko?
Smoko. Let me see. Blink, 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 blink. My records do not contain any entry for Smoko. Please tell me about him.
Well, he says, removing his Stetson and adopting a pose that seems not unpracticed.
Well, Cute Kid Smoko, he was something else. He used to ride into town, smoking Evergreen brand cigarettes, because they was good for you. And anyone who weren't smoking, they were the bad ones. And he'd clear them out, usually by shooting them a lot. And then everyone would celebrate with a cigarette. And they go for a run because they were so healthy. All thanks to Cute Kid Smoko. And he was tall. He had hair like mine. Beard like mine. He looked a lot like me. And he was called Eli DeCoco, Cute Kid Smoko. Ring any bells?
Eli DeCoco, he had the same name as you. Is your name a common human name?
Eli looked into the distance, slightly cross-eyed for a second. And then he just pats you on your head. Good boy. That's a good boy.
Thank you. What was that for?
For being such a real little boy. I'm proud of you.
Pizza Oven, when you say he's a real little boy, Pizza Oven's feet sort of like do a little tappity dance just for a little second.
Well, ain't that the cutest?
Captain, let me make you that pizza. Eli DeCoco, would you also like pizza? I am making pizza for the captain.
You know something, Poe? I would love pizza. Because she said I should have heaped sugar and salt all over this thing, and look at it now. Look at it. The sponge has completely deteriorated.
Hey. I did not say to heap that stuff on there.
No, not you, Captain. He looks at the fan and makes a little like...
Kill it.
Okay.
And the fan buzzes away. Never mind.
Oh, all right.
That is a shame, Eli. You know how much I appreciate your bakes.
I mean, we know you're the true artist here. I'm just trying to be useful.
Art. I've done art.
Yeah, he says. He's always slightly bemused. And doesn't quite know how to interact with you, despite having known you for quite some time. There's always like a, huh.
The captain's making a face like, come on, engage.
Art, yep, I know all about that. You can ask me anything.
I can?
Oh, yeah, I know it.
I know it.
Maybe later, Captain, what flavor pizza do you want?
Ooh, I am vibing something with a lot of salt, I reckon.
Let me see.
Pizza goes into the walk-in oven and starts pulling them out of the freezer, flipping them over and looking at the salt content.
It's like something with a lot of salt. I have 7,340 search results.
And eventually returns with a 3 cheese, 4 meat pizza.
four meats.
There's a little star on it that says extra salty.
That is perfect, Poe.
How do you even find four meats?
I don't even know, but let's do it.
What is the fourth meat?
It's just tadukken and beef.
The meats, the meats are incredibly nondescript on these pizzas.
Yeah, the ingredients list is just four meats. Misc. Miscellaneous.
Meat made up of recycled plastic.
Four meat mix.
Four meat mix. Asterisk, and then in tiny lettering, maybe made of recycled plastic.
Four meats, three cheeses. It's pizza. What do you want? Come on.
Cheese flavored spread.
Cheese flavored spread, yeah.
Pizza themed cheese spread.
Yeah, and pizza oven pops it inside its little front.
Oh. In his face.
And then just stands stock still for 90 seconds. Nice. As the pizza whirls round and round inside.
Oh, I am so looking forward to this pizza.
How does pizza oven feel when that's happening?
Oh, that's between pizza oven and the Lord.
I'm the Lord and I want to know.
Still examining that particular sensation. Mm-hmm. Not sure he's ready to engage with it yet.
Mm-hmm. In that 90 seconds. So, is it me or is he really looking more and more like a real boy every day?
You know it. He's our boy. It's Pizza Oven.
Can Pizza Oven hear and see things whilst cooking? Ooh, or is it like going to sleep?
Or is it like a blackout?
Nah, he can hear and see. He's just frozen still.
Okay, so you guys are just saying he's looking more like every day just to his face.
Thanks. The only being in the planet that can genuinely multitask.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, humans cannot. Pizza Oven can.
Oh, I'm sorry, Poe. It's just... I can't do more than one thing at a time.
That's all right.
For example, I can't. And he stares back at the sponge cake.
That's all right, Eli. You got to focus on that cake, mate. It smells delicious.
I mean, I don't get it. I made tiramisu once. That was great.
It was very
nice. This should have been fine. Maybe he just doesn't have enough Victoria.
I mean...
Too much sponge, not enough Victoria.
Yeah. You're the star baker, mate. I couldn't comment. I'll leave that to you. I don't even know what Victoria is.
Nor do I.
No one does.
Well, we're about 20, 25 minutes out from our destination, guys. So I reckon just enough time to eat some pizza, and then we'll be about ready to land.
Ding!
Ah, woo! Shit, that came through so loud on my headphones. Fuck!
Oh, yes. That is my favourite sound on this whole ship.
Captain, pizza is served, and then the door pops open and a little, like, shelf slides out from below the microwave part in the pizza oven. The pizza slides out.
Yes.
And with the little circular blade pizza oven slices the pizza up in just like a rapid, like practiced motion.
Nice. Yep.
Almost as though he was programmed to do it.
Yes.
How does the pizza look? Is it frozen pizza quality of today?
Look, it's frozen pizza.
What do you want?
I should be clear. Pizza oven in this world, in the world of Orbital Blues, intelligent robots are not common.
Yeah.
Right, Sarah?
Yes, that is correct. This pizza oven is certainly an anomaly.
An anomaly.
And a rarity.
You need a little boy.
Mm-hmm. It was made as a sort of like mid-range item, mass-produced and intended for the middle-class market. Most have since broken down, but pizza oven, by a beautiful twist of fate, his programming somehow, the line of code just went a little bit different, and he set off on his own journey, and that's why he's here today. But doesn't mean the pizzas are that good. They are.
Frozen pizza.
They are frozen pizzas. It's the future.
Yeah.
They're like 5% better than they currently are.
No one even knows what pizza actually used to taste like anyway.
Nah.
No, right?
Or what it looks like. Yeah. We've all forgotten.
Also, it's deep space.
Yeah.
What are you comparing this to?
Yeah, yeah. Where's pizza space hot oven? Yeah.
Better than the gruel sacks.
Yummy.
Of Quagmon 5.
Where do you eat the pizza?
I'll probably go back to the bridge, get the landing ready, because I figured that's probably not going to be automated.
Exactly. As you get back to the bridge, you see the last member of your crew, Krevin, a jack of all trades who mostly helps with the engine repair and upkeep. He's a tall, lanky fella who stubbornly keeps a beard upon his face despite it having significantly inconsistent growth, resulting in the sorriest, patchiest excuse for facial hair anyone has seen this side of the galaxy.
Nice.
Krebby, my dude. It's a mighty fine patch on that face of yours.
Thanks, Eli. Looking
like a man's beard.
Means a lot coming from someone with facial hair like you.
Well, I do have facial hair. So how's she flying? No, this pizza ain't bad.
Thank you.
Are you asking me how she's flying or Krevin?
Nope, still speaking to Crispy Krevin.
All right.
I ain't really been paying attention. It's still on autopilot.
Right, right. You know I don't go for this techno stuff.
No, no.
I'm just a simple cowboy boy.
All right, everyone. Just going to disengage the autopilot, Krevin, and we're going to land this baby.
Well, let's see how you do land this baby. Now, can you give me a mobility check?
No!
A mobility check.
So,
no, I can't.
The ship itself has a mobility score, okay. So you will roll 2d6 mm-hmm. and add the ship's mobility.
Oh, yeah.
Christ.
The ship's mobility is 2.
Okay, all right, all right. 13.
Ooh.
Good.
It's a surprisingly smooth landing.
Yes.
That's pizza focus.
That is it. Pizza focus.
Doesn't sharpen you up like carbs.
As the ship enters the atmosphere of Valkverden, you feel nary a bump of turbulence as Momo pilots the moose with such unbelievable grace down to the surface.
My God, I forget how smooth this beast is.
So who's this new character, Nary a Bump?
Hand a hammer off, son. So smooth, in fact, that Eli's just standing there, not strapped in, eating the rest of his pizza. He's talking to Poe and Crispy Krevin.
Shit, I should have checked everybody was strapped in.
I always thought that pizza pie was like a sweet thing. We never got pizza back in the orphanage.
Pizza Oven is standing next to Eli with his little pincer hand has just gently gripped onto Eli's jeans.
Oh my God.
Just in case.
Oh, Pizza Oven.
Just pinched on the seam, you know, just in case.
Yeah. Eli, he's being eating his pizza on a paper plate and he absentmindedly lays it on the Poe's head. A couple of seconds later, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, little buddy. I'm sorry, man. It's just you're the perfect height.
Thank you. For what?
For being my best little friend.
Eli de Coco. You are also my best big friend.
Well, thank you, man. That means a lot.
Thank you. Man, that means a lot.
All right, guys, we have landed.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We're getting off.
Oh.
What the fuck are we doing? I don't know what we're doing.
That is completely fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, Nell? Make it up. Make Sarah run.
Oh, no.
I meant it as a tee up to like Sarah pushing the story along, but okay. If you do want the pressure of it, I'm more than happy to direct
it. Good.
So you have landed in the town of Humberstone. Humberstone isn't the smallest settlement you've ever been to, but it's by no means big either. The cracked tarmac on the roads has seen better days as one too many overladen tank rigs have driven through on their way from the refinery to the transport depot. The town mostly consists of accommodation for the refinery workers, combinations of houses, apartments and bunk rooms cheaply installed by the Evergreen Corporation many years ago, and definitely showing their age and dilapidation. Businesses besides the company store have cropped up across Humberstone to keep the workers placated during their downtime. Predominantly low-rent bars and gambling parlours, and with such establishments also has come the installment of a local sheriff, which is who you're meeting with on this day.
Okay, so will the Evergreen Company logo be visible from the ship?
Yes. The Evergreen Company logo is plastered all over Humberstone.
Of course.
Okay.
This one is specifically for the energy subsidiary and features the mascot of Orion, the operator, A man in generic overalls wearing goggles and a hard hat giving a huge cheesy smile and thumbs up.
Nice.
Eli sees it and goes, "Ah, fuck.
What is wrong, Eli?"
"I'll tell you what's wrong, Poe. Everything's gone to shit. Captain, he's following you. Are you going to, like, getting ready to leave?"
I'm assuming I'm just, like, turning off buttons and shit. You know ships work and stuff.
Just doing like, tech stuff that looks cool.
Nell, it's your ship. You say it's true.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I'm just doing the, you know, like when you're about to leave a house. You're just prepping all the shit. You're turning it off.
Yeah, nice.
All that kind of stuff.
Wallet, keys, phone.
That's it. Yeah. Patting all my 70 pockets in my jacket.
Thrusters, phone, keys.
Eli, yep. It's gone, mate.
Cam, does the name Evergreen not mean nothing to you?
Yeah, mate. Of course I know what Evergreen is. What's going on?
Well, don't you think that this might be imprudent for us?
Would I have known that Evergreen was on this planet?
Probably. May not have done, because you are not technically working for Evergreen.
Okay.
You have been contacted by the sheriff of this town, who is technically an independent force.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Mo looks out the window and spots all the Evergreen stuff everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And says, "Shit. I'm sorry, mate. I didn't know that this was where we were landing.
Fuck.
We've been contacted by a local sheriff who needs our help. I did not know that Evergreen was what we were getting into."
"He didn't give you no word, no hire?"
"Well, no. I mean, maybe I should have worked it out. There's a lot of dodgy corporations around here, but..." "Ugh. I gathered it was, look, mate, I am sorry. I probably should have worked out that that is what we were dealing with, but just didn't cross my mind."
"Well, I mean, if it weren't one corp, it was going to be another."
"Yeah, I suppose that's true. It's a sad fucking state of our galaxy."
"Right.
You got this, mate. Don't worry about it."
"I mean, it ain't just me."
"I know, mate. Do you want to wait in the ship? It's all right if you do."
"Oh, no. Okay. One thing worse than me getting in trouble. You guys getting in trouble because of me."
"Appreciate that, mate."
"I think it's time we finally bust out the fake IDs."
"Oh, fuck yeah." I rummage around. "Wait, do we have a secret special box thing? No, we didn't go for that.
We didn't go for the secret drawer."
"No, you didn't go for it."
"We didn't, okay.
So we go, open the secret drawer, and it's just a drawer with Momo's secret drawer on it written on it.
Well, I was going to say it was in one of my billions of pockets, but it's probably not a good idea to have it on my person at all times. It probably should be in a drawer. All right, it's in a drawer."
"You've got them in a chest pocket with our passports."
Yeah.
"Our actual passports.
All IDs, all things that we don't want to lose."
"Yeah.
In my jacket that I often take off and leave in a pub and forget."
But yeah, we established in Session Zero and Session Zero.
Session
that,
Zero.
Moose had... one of the things we have with it is fake IDs.
That's right.
Yes.
Maybe, how about maybe Poe can be the keeper of the keys? All these different keys. I'll be like, "Poe, mate."
"Yes.
We need the secret drawer key."
"Keep it in your oven."
"Yeah."
"Along with the passports."
"Could you please bust out the secret drawer key, mate? We need this fake IDs. And we're going to get you a hat."
Where on earth would Poe keep keys?
That's a good point.
It's just, it cuts to like a disembodied shot of an arm raising into view, holding some keys.
Maybe not Poe.
We don't need to explain where it came from, but Poe can.
Poe hands you keys.
Poe doesn't have to be the keeper of the keys. I forgot that Poe only has a pizza oven arm.
The pizza slice is exchangeable.
Does it make sense for Cribbin to be the keeper of the keys?
I do like that pizza oven can just miraculously hands us stuff. Similarly to the combat that we established, that pizza oven just has like a gun that attaches. We don't know how. It just does.
You know, sometimes I forget that you're just a fucking pizza oven.
The pizza oven hands you keys. All right, I've got keys. There's about 70 keys. and I find the small key with a smiley face on it.
Nice.
Which indicates fake IDs or something. Nice. Look, there's a lot of keys.
Smiles is secrets.
I got to put stickers on them to work out which fucking key is which.
Smiles is secrets.
Smiles is secrets. Remember, Captain, smiles is secrets.
That's it, Poe.
That's right.
You told me to remind you.
That is it, Poe. I appreciate that.
You are welcome, Captain.
All right, I open our little fake IDs.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Have we made up our own, or did we just get lumped with some shit ones?
Good point.
I want you all to give me a savvy check.
Okay, brilliant.
Very good. And I'm going to say we've got a spare one, just in case. You know, we don't know what's coming on board soon. We've just got a spare one.
Just checking my savvy. 0, yep, great.
Oh, yes.
7.
I got a 13.
Woof.
That makes sense.
5 for a pizza oven.
Okay.
Come on, pizza oven.
It's going to be hard to make a fake ID for us.
Yeah.
That's true.
Archibald Thrombley.
It's a sufficient ID, but
just put a mustache on it.
Momo has the coolest name. Mm. So what's the coolest alias you can think of?
Ooh. Oh, my God. Oh, no, this is so much pressure.
Yeah.
Jennifer the coolest name Blundell.
Nah, that's shit.
The coolest name I can think of is Nancy Epworth.
Oh,
ooh,
cool.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
So Momo's is Nancy Epworth.
That's not a good name.
Eli, with a 7, you have just a generic name, Christopher Maloney.
Nice.
Cool.
I feel like that's
still
better than Nancy
good.
Epworth. That's way cooler.
Gonna be Christopher Twerpwood.
Twerpwood.
And pizza oven. We're 5. You have Turd Anderson.
Why is my fake ID a human fake ID?
Yes, surely. We'll put a hat on your glasses. It's gonna be fun.
I thought I would get a robe off fake ID.
But it was often said of Turd though that he had very pizza oven-esque features.
Quite a square face. You know.
Ugly sort of child.
It's almost like you don't need a fake ID.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Maybe Eli and Maurice made him one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, to make him feel included.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. That's cute.
And I feel like we shouldn't have chosen Turd then. That's terrible. If we made it, that's terrible.
No, you said something else and the person making it completely misheard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You
yeah,
said
yeah.
Bert.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Oh, God damn it. I keep forgetting it's Turd.
Yeah, this ain't right. This ain't
sorry, Poe, this is not okay.
Don't worry, Captain, I love it.
All right, as long as you love it, mate, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it very much.
Is Crispy Krevin coming with us?
Yes, Krevin's coming with you.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wait, did we establish what Krevin's ID says?
Krevin's ID says Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. And no one remembers what that is, so
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, so it's fine.
TM.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts, TM.
All right, crew, are we prepped and
can I
ready?
Hold my ID?
Absolutely, mate, absolutely. I've handed them out to everybody.
Yeah.
Great, he's holding it.
Now, everyone, you know me. I love to smile and I love to make myself useful and make other people happy. If something happens, if we's caught, you don't know me.
Oh, mate, we are not going to leave you stranded down there.
If I'm stranded down there, I'm taking every fucking one of them chumps with me. Don't you worry about that, but I want to make sure that I ain't leading you in something that you can't get out of. Right?
All right, mate, all right.
You got to promise me you take care of yourselves.
Well, mate, I don't know if I can promise you. I am no man left behind.
No adorable pizza oven boy left behind.
No crew member left behind, Eli, but I promise you, mate, if it looks like it's getting hairy, I will pull out. That sounds inappropriate.
Maybe this won't even be a problem. Maybe it's just some sheriff who's got a problem with Evergreen, and maybe this won't even come up.
That's right.
I just wanted to make clear that this could get real. Pizza oven, this could get real, all right?
Real? Has it been a simulation this far? I hope not. I like this ship. I like this captain. I like this crew. I like this fake ID.
Looks down at Turd.
For a second, that big painted smile on its face seems so real.
Aww. It is real.
It is real.
It is real.
Good pizza oven.
Good little pizza oven.
But you all disembark the moose and begin across town towards the sheriff's office, eager to find out just what this job will entail.
Season 2 of Quest Fantastic, Orbital Blues. And now I have to demonstrate my ability to learn and practice. Nell Heald as Captain Maurice Richards, Paul Goodman as Eli DeCoco, Jen Blundell as Pizza Oven, Paul Salt as Cough, and Sarah Keep as everyone else. Music and editing by me. That was hard. That's very hard on my stupid brain. But I made it less hard with editing. Thank you so much for joining us on this maiden voyage, pun, etc., etc., etc. We're so excited to properly kick this adventure off. We are so happy with how things have turned out, and we are just so thrilled to be partnered with Soul Muppet, who are the creators of this incredible, wonderful game. So if you do want to check it out, if you want to grab yourself a copy of the really, really purdy good-looking playbook, which mine own Wizened Hands have been modelling on various social medias, then you should do that. I've popped the link to Soul Muppet in the episode description, specifically the affiliate link, because Soul Muppet is a developer that cares about the people that play the games they make. If you want to grab yourself a copy of the playbook, and I really recommend you doing it, this is such a fun game, and you also want to throw a bit of that change our way too, use that affiliate link. Thank you. And if you want to help us in any other way, like, I don't know, a pat on the back, a little slap on the ass as we head to the showers or something, sports, then you could become a patron over at Patreon. That is to say, patreon.com/questfantastic, where for as little as $1 a month, you get access to all of the special TTRPG games we play, the fortnightly episodes of Gab Quest, where we look back on and talk about the episode that came out the week prior, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Thank you to everybody who has already become a patron, and for anybody who just wants to listen to the main show, or money is a little bit tight, totally get it. Thank you so, so much for everything. Space Cats for continuing to support us in whatever way you choose to do. But the next episode is going to be coming out on Monday, the 25th of March. So we're in space. We've seen you in space, and we will continue to see you in space.